Going to work the word. You guys are going to get a workout. Deuteronomy chapter 11, we're going to be picking up in verse 8. Last night, if you weren't here during prayer meeting, there were some cool things that the Lord has really impressed on my heart, particularly about just calling us out to walk on that water. It was part of this music that we were going through, but it was really like huge to me, and it really impressed my heart that being called out to walk on the water, not to go beyond the ordinary and beyond our, okay, this is what I think, and the human reasoning and leaning on that, to trusting in God, really to go for it. And I think that those are the highlights of our life. It isn't the routine and the ordinary and the things that we did that we leaned on our own understanding. That's routine and ordinary. It's the extraordinary, and we're called out, and really it's just God. And to be called out in the water, those are the things we look forward to doing, and to truly hear His voice and truly be called out. And so I pray that be a trademark for our body here of believers. So verse 8 in chapter 11, 8 and 9. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I commanded you this day, that you may be strong in going and possess the land whither you go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give unto them and to their seed, a land that flows with milk and honey. The benefits of obedience, right off the bat here. God is encouraging us to obey the commands that He's given us and given the people. And one of the benefits given right off first there is strength. Therefore, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong. So associated with our obedience is strength. Disobedience, you can likewise associate weakness. Weak during difficult times. Weak as a father. Weak as a mom. Weak as a brother or sister. Weakness. Disobedience to God's commands. But strength when there's obedience. You know, we pray for revival, and rightly so. We should keep doing that. But do you know that it starts with a people that are called by His name? It starts with His people. If my people called by my name, Christians, how can we lead others if our lives are entangled in sin? How can we expect revival if the church is entangled in sin? Evangelizing others while we do not practice it at home, in the lab, is hypocrisy. A special word was given to that because people do that. If we listen to His commands and say, yeah, yeah, and then we go home and it's no, no, we're hypocrites. Very special name, but it's an awful name. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting, spiritually speaking, to have hypocrisy. I know personally I'm not interested in evangelizing, having aggressive evangelical programs to make a bigger church if we're not living out the reality of His love and His grace and His truth at home. We will just become a hypocrite factory. Well, we got this many people this week, and then we're churning more hypocrites and hypocrites. That's not my idea. The numbers in the church aren't my idea of success. It's what's going on at home. If something is going on at home where the Lord is glorified, boom. I consider that great success. And that's where my investment is. It's in our walk. As we teach, as we open His Word, there's being an investment being made in the discipleship of His people so we can bring it home. So we can have the strength that this verse is talking about to see revival really happen. Some of the sin that we encounter as Christians, I think especially, is with our tongue. It might not be necessarily those sins that we quickly think of, the drugs, the alcohol, the sexual sin, and all those, you know, the big things. A lot of times for Christians, it's our tongue. Do we spend half the day complaining and whining? Are we edifying others or criticizing everything and anything that we come across? This could be an entanglement of sin that could be affecting our body. It could be causing weakness in this church. No, Paul, I don't whine and complain more than 5% of the day. Definitely not more than 10%. Definitely not 50% of the day. What you're saying there is an example of self-righteousness. That you have a certain thing that you can complain and whine a certain part of the day, and that's okay. Maybe 5 or 10%, but not over that. That's called self-righteousness. It has nothing to do with God. That's your own righteousness. That's your own declaration. It's your own religion. How much of the day do you commit adultery or perform witchcraft? Only 5%? Would that be acceptable to Gretchen if I committed adultery 5% of the day? Of course not. The misuse of the tongue, probably perhaps the most troublesome thing in our church for the Christian believers, especially the church in general, is the tongue. What we say, sinning with the tongue, driven by the heart. When we see it as a symptom of deficiency of God's Spirit, of God's love, we'll better understand that to use our tongue for thanksgiving instead is a better choice. We all exist in this fallen world. There's not one of us that doesn't exist in this fallen world. None of us lives in a bubble. We all deal with difficult people and difficult situations every day. It's a fallen world. We all have a list of things we can gripe about, from oatmeal to Obamacare. That's the one on the news recently. Not doing too well. We all can have a list of these things. But the choice comes, how are we going to use our tongue? Are we going to be entangled? Are we going to gratify the flesh and not progress as a church in this community? The promises of God's strength. One of the promises mentioned here. Prolonged days mentioned here. Not just quantity, but quality. As we set aside these sins and choose love, as we set aside the sin and choose perfection, His love, choose His way, these promises, these blessings will be realized. So the land being mentioned here, that's one of the blessings of the promised life that God gives each one of us. Prolonged days, speaking of quantity. Eternal life, of course, is prolonged days. But the quantity gives over to quality very quickly, as you understand that one day in the court of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere. A life lived to 25 years old for the Lord, I would take over a life lived to 105 for someone that lived for themselves. Verses 10 through 12. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess is a land of hills and valleys and drinks water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God cares for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. This is an interesting comparison that we see in the scripture here today. Egypt, where they just came from as bond slaves. They had to dig irrigation systems. It says with their feet they had to bring the water in. And so they were digging. They actually had to do a lot of irrigation in Egypt. Very arid land, digging irrigation systems, miles of them, every day. So comparing that to the promises of God, where God provides the rain. This is a neat picture, a neat comparison of where they came from, doing it themselves, working it really hard to get the water to flow, and then God causing the rain. Comparing the two things. In the promised land, where they're going to go, God is going to rain. Rain from the sky. This is a neat picture of the bondage of works also and the freedom of grace. You guys all shared with each other that the truth has set me free this morning. This is the freedom that we celebrate in this promised light that He's given us as we walk in obedience to Him. There's a neat picture happening here to show the difference between the bondage of works, digging your own irrigation systems, and the freedom of grace where God provides the strength and God provides the righteousness. Works represent our efforts, and God's grace represents His effort. Works can sadly come from the place of worship. It can come from church, the place of worship that people attend. People laying on guilt trips. You need to get digging so the water can flow. All of a sudden we become enslaved to other people's expectations. You need to be doing this or that if you're really my brother in Christ. And all of a sudden, you're instead of serving the Lord, you're serving other people's expectations. You should be at prayer meeting. You should be at the Bible study. You should be at this outreach and that. You should be at the Myers football game going on. You should be there. And this kind of guilt. And then you got to, pastor's going to be, he's going to kind of look on me down if I don't show up for this, or, you know, I'm not here for that. You become people pleasers. You're going to burn out. You'll be walking around like a crispy critter. All right, we don't serve each other in our expectations in that way, with guilt trips laying on each other. We serve the Lord, and through that, we become servants of each other. Guilt trips come in all different ways. You know, how come you weren't there? Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. I'm more than okay. I'm free. I'm free to follow God, not the biddings of man. And I'm not here to please men, but to please God. So a contrast in these verses, this land that they came from, that digging, that works mentality, and then God providing the rain. Very awesome contrast. In verse 13, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love, commandment, to love. Isn't that great? Love! Doesn't a commandment, you picture a sergeant, let's go, come, love! You know, you feel that, a commandment being a powerful thing, and all of a sudden, love, you know? Like you could make that a force kind of thing, but it is. It's all the commandments, all wrapped up. They have to do with love. That's perfection, and we're called to that place of perfection, to have that love shed abroad in our hearts, and only the Holy Spirit can provide that depth of love that God's looking for. That always makes me stop, though, when I see the command to love. That's really what it's all about. The bookends to everything we do as Christians, or don't do, the whining and complaining, for example, that I talked about, is this love for God. All right? It isn't because pastor told you, the expectant, you know, I'm not going to look, I want to look good in front of this person and that person, and therefore I'm not going to complain or whine while I'm around them. No, I'm doing it because God. God's love is shed abroad in my heart, and I'm a responder to this love. The power that I'm finding is in the love of God. So the bookends to everything we do or don't do as Christians is love for God and from Him. Not to gain the approval of others or to please our sisters and brothers in Christ. Good luck with that. To be pleasers of men, whether they're sisters and brothers of Christ or not, you will burn out. By the way, if you are in ministry, which you all are, you're called to ministry in one shape or another, the expectations will be very high, and the temptations to please everyone all of the time will always be there before you. When I was at Armor of Light Church, I wasn't serving in any capacity, just enjoying the fellowship there, awesome people. And so I made myself available to whatever the pastor wanted. And that included doing skits. So I was his skit boy. But, you know, Paul, you're going to be Frankenstein. Okay, Paul, you're going to do this. Okay. And one of the skits was to be a baby in diapers. A full-grown baby. So I had this actual cloth diaper on, nothing else. And I have to, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'd really get, you know, maybe I can be treasure or something different. Maybe Skip Boy wasn't an easy thing as I thought. But I had to stand in front of everybody, and the pastor was the other part of the skit, and I was just like whining and complaining, Pastor, how come you weren't over here for this? And how come you weren't over there for this? And how come you didn't do this? And I have a bottle too, and it was horrible. I was very embarrassed to do that skit, and I think it was burning some people that were complainers and whining. But at the same time, it's something I'll never forget. Never to be pleasers of men. Never to be living for the expectations of men. And that's what that pastor was demonstrating in that skit, that he needed to do what God was calling him to do, not to be a beck and call of everyone's whim. The bookends to everything we do or don't do is the love of God. We pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us to have this love. It is not something we can manufacture. The amount of love we can manufacture would fit in a thimble. The amount of love that God has is infinite because God is love and God is infinite. So the oceans can't even describe it. We try to sing, we give words to it like universe and stars and this and that. There's no words to describe it. No words to describe the love of God. Romans 5:3 talks about this love being shed abroad in Kelsey's heart. It talks about it being shed abroad in Gretchen's heart and Patty's and Seth's. It talks about this love in this way. And not only so, but we glory in trouble also, knowing that trouble works patience or tribulation, and patience experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Love God. And then service will come to others and to Him. And it will come naturally. These are the bookends of what we do as Christians. The command of God isn't separated from His love. The commands of God aren't separated from His love. The two are the same. He gives us a command, this particular command, do not lie, or whatever it is. Because He loves us. It's an expression of love. We obey that command in the same fashion out of love. I'm going to tell the truth even though it hurts, because of the love of God that's shed abroad in my heart. Let it rain. Verse 14 and 15. That I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. That sounds really good. Let it rain. Let it rain. That's an awesome song. It's not a very old song, but it is very powerful. I remember running down at Casey Park, and it was just the perfect temperature out, where I could run without a shirt on and not be cold or too hot or whatever. And it just, the rain was coming down, and I had that playing on my cell phone, and it was just like, man, that was like that stuff talked about in that last song there. It was like really intimate. It was really good. It was a really cool time with God. Just to let it rain. Lord, just rain down on me. Wash me clean. Lord, fill me with your will and your way. 14 and 15. Let it rain. Cling to the Lord. Cleave to him, we were told just recently. Last week we talked about it. That verse that talks about cleaving to him. That cleaving to him will produce that rain in your soul. The Holy Spirit just drenching you with his presence. Praise the Lord. Every time we come to Him, we need to understand that not only that we are sinners, but even our best efforts our used toilet paper compared to His love. Our best efforts, our best works outside of Christ are used toilet paper. Used toilet paper when compared to His love. So we need to drop all of that, all that pride that comes with that, and we need to be empty before God and just get filled with the right stuff. His Spirit, this rain that's mentioned here. Not only is this rain mentioned early on that it says, but it also talks about a latter rain, amplifying periods in between of dryness. That's part of our experience as Christians, seeking that refreshment from God. Have that deer that pants after that water brook, looking to be watered by God, seeking that quenching from His Spirit. A lot of times that drives us together to be quenched by the Lord, to be in His presence. Two or more are gathered, there He is in His midst. There Jesus is. Interesting, this early and latter rain mentioned these two verses is also in James. You just point that out quickly. Be patient, therefore, unto the coming of the Lord. That's the second coming. Behold, the husbandman or the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. So even the coming of the Lord, there's that first experience we had with Jesus walking on this earth, His crucifixion, the passion story, and then this passage of time until the latter rain when Jesus will come again. Different types of this early and latter rain applies to your life as well. Let's move on into verse 16 and 17. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He shut up the heaven, talking about that rain we were just talking about, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord has given you. Notice turning aside here, the phrase used for this walking away from God. It's a turning. It's going after something else. It could be something spiritual. It could be something material. It could be something spiritual in the phony sense. Or it could be something material. But in both cases, it involves a turning away from the living, loving God that created us. Repentance is also a turning. It's a turning back to that living, loving God that created us. So interesting to keep those things in your mind, that am I going for the Lord? Or am I serving church and some other people and their expectations? That could be a type of turning away from the Lord. That could be a type of idolizing somebody or something. It could be phony spirituality. Turn to the Lord. Deceit. Notice deceit here. Don't be deceived. Take heed to yourselves, it says. It's like, you know, take an account. You sit down and look over the records here. And take an inventory. Don't be deceived. Unfortunately, Satan is very good at doing that. Inside of the church and out, deceiving people. Doing whatever he can to get them walking in some other direction that's not towards God. He can have the appearance of light because he's an angel of light and we think we're on the right path. But it's a deceit. It's a trickery. It doesn't sound fair, does it? It's like, man, I got tricked. I got buffooned. Been living to someone else's expectations. I've been hearing from God. I've been trying to please people. I've been deceived. We can be deceived in a lot of different ways. Sometimes by the fact that we're doing busy stuff and think busyness is righteousness. The Bible doesn't say the busy go to heaven. It says the ones that hear His voice, the ones that are in Christ, the sheep that hear My voice and follow Me. Follow Jesus. That's how we go to heaven. It's the only way to go to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Some folks have heard this before us, of spiritualized busyness, and say God can't use the parked car, so get moving. But get busy serving in something or another. And that's not what it's all about, is busyness. You will be busy and miserable. Take the example of Scripture of Mary and Martha. All right, take the position of Mary. If you're going to get busy doing something, do what Mary did and get busy at the feet of Jesus Christ in that place of worship and look long into His face. And do you hear His voice? Spend time with Him. Get in His Word. Have fellowship with Christ. The service will come naturally, and it won't be a burden. It won't be out of guilt and out of pleasing everyone else. You are free, I'm here to tell you this morning. You are absolutely 100% set free by the Lord, God the Son. In verse 18, this is a cool way God says this in verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these My words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Whoa, what's he talking about there? That's pretty cool. Lay up these words in your heart. This is the third therefore in this chapter. The first one was therefore love. The second one is therefore keep all the commandments. Those two are really not different. And now therefore shall ye lay up. Lay up. Do stores still do that? Do they have layaways? Remember that was really big at a certain time. Did a little bit of research on it, and it started during the Depression of the 1930s, where you could lay something away. But it was never borrow money and get it now. It was to save up. It was a type of saving, so you could save up for whatever that is. And then it went out of style in the 1980s, with credit cards. The more I think about it, I see as laying up is a godly way of doing things. Better method, more according to His ways, the patience required that goes with it, to save and to wait. It's more virtuous, speaks of godliness, than the instant gratification that we have so much before us today. But applying God's word to this laying up idea that He's presenting us, our investing in God's word often involves immediate fellowship with God. In comfort from the Scriptures. You've experienced that in here. If you've been in the Word, you've been to Bible studies, I know everyone in here has that experience. There's immediate fellowship with God, and there's comfort and strength in the Scriptures. You're brought at peace, and you have a great experience and fellowship at time with your Creator as you're in the Scripture. Truth is revealed sometimes, and confusion and fear slips away. Great stuff, man. That's why we gather around it. And it should keep happening. But something else is happening as well. This word of laying up is happening. There's a laying up of His truth. And this is speaking of a preparation for things to come. So just as you're that layaway in that store, you're preparing for something, you're saving away and chunking it away for that time. His word and it is doing the same thing as you're in it. Not only are you getting blessed in that moment, there's a laying up happening. And God's encouraging us to realize that's happening and think of it that way when we're in His Word. You know, I'm going to be blessed now, but I'm also going to use this in my life. I'm going to be open to Your truth, God, in my life. I'm not just going to, there it is, and that's cool, and I've been blessed, and I'm at peace, and then forget about it. No, it's been stored. That thing is also going to be strength for me in the days to come. Laying up. We all know it's better to be proactive than to be reactive. And that laying up kind of speaks to that. To make a huge mistake, to offend someone, to cause someone to stumble, to make a big mistake, and then come across it later in Scripture, said, oh, that's reactive. Discipleship is about training. Parenting is about training and training up. And we're going to see that in this coming verse. It's interesting to hear bells right now. It's not a typical time. This laying up, investment, investing for life ahead. A great part of your investment in the Word right now and at home will be a laying up process. The time you've invested in God's Word will pay off. There will be that time when that layaway is all done, and then you can say, okay, that gift will become realized. Whatever it is, that promise, that blessing, that strength I need in that due time. Because it was stowed away, His Word was laid up. There are two forms of the Word, of this laying up. In Isaiah 55, rain, just what we talked about, that immediate quenching, and then snow, which kind of lends credence to what I'm talking about here. Snow is a type of laying up, that water is going to come later in the spring, and that's going to feed the water table. We know that's important if we're going to have a good spring, that there's a good snow base to melt off. That's a type of laying up. And interesting, Isaiah uses his Word, that comparison, in that same way. It's like the rain and it's like the snow. So those two things should be happening as we approach His Word. I'm being blessed right now. I'm being refreshed. I'm being delivered. God, I love You. And at the same time, I'm being emboldened for the future, emboldened, strengthened. Laying up these words, we're told about where this takes place, in the heart and in the soul. The heart is the lev bab, that's the Hebrew of it, the inner man. Each one of us is here physically, and each one of us has an inner man. Ooh. A hidden part. And that part sometimes, even though you're physically here, that part could be somewhere else. That's how that works. You might be physically here, but because of desire or whatever else, you might be somewhere else. I wish I was somewhere else. So that inner man is hopefully engaged now in His Word. The soul. So the heart and now the soul is mentioned here. These are the places where we lay up these things. This is where the snow is stored as we're being refreshed and quenched, but also the storage is happening. The soul is another place. This is the true you, your personality, your DNA, you as a being. The Word will penetrate these areas to be applied at a later time. From the inside application of His Word being stored in our heart and our soul, we move to the outward application of His Word. We see is the hand mentioned here in verse 18. For a sign upon your hand, and that they may be frontlets between your eyes. So they literally had scripture in boxes that were tied around their wrist and headgear. So they really had God's Word right there. It's always, I don't know how you read it, cross-eyed looking at it or how they did that, but at least the reminder was there. God's Word was right there. So the inner man is being laid up, and then on the outside, externally, it's being placed and stored. There it is, my hand. I got God's scripture in my hand, and if I'm going to reach for a bottle of booze, you know, there's God's Word right there. You know, so it's on the outside as well. It's ready for that time of weakness if I'm reaching for something I shouldn't be reaching. Speaking of that, Maddie and I were splitting wood yesterday. Had nothing to do with booze. I don't know how it is. But he was holding the mallet. No, it's just how we can bring the Word into, you know, we're putting our hands to something, we're splitting wood, and it's just like, wow, this looks like rebellion right here because of the, you know, right here you can see how the grain, this is how a piece of wood should look. When you're splitting, this is how you hope it looks. All the grain is nice and straight. That way the split goes right down. You hit it with once or twice and crack. You're moving on here. You're working for about half an hour. You got wedges going in this way. You got a wedge going in that way. You got the thing upside down. You're huffing and puffing. And what a picture of rebellion. And the spikes driven in, you know, the gospel of His grace, the passion story, the effort it took with Jesus to break the power of sin and pride in our life. You know, our grain just going against God all the time. So that's just an example of His Word just being applied. It's there, it's laid up, and then I see something, and then it comes out, the snow melts, and then it's applied right there and then, and it's cool. Easy. So the eyes mentioned here, the hand, the eyes are mentioned as well. As I look at a situation or a person, there the Word of God is in the midst. Hopefully the Word of God stored up and laid up as I look at a situation that I encounter in the day or a person, there's God's Word ready to be applied. Right between my eyes, right at the center of my vision. Boy, there's a lot going on with the Word of God here. It's in the midst of our eyes, it's on our hands, it's laid up in our soul, and it's bound in our heart. There's a lot going on. It's not just like kicking back and saying, cool, that's some nice word. Man, there's stuff going on with His Word. There's some intense things happening here. It continues in verse 19. It doesn't stop there. And you shall teach them to your children. Man, it's in our heart, it's in our soul, it's in our hands, it's in between our eyes, and we're going to teach, now we're going to speak, it's coming out of our mouth. We're going to teach our children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when I walkest by the way, and when I liest down, you're going to bed at night, and when thou risest up. So now our mouth is engaged. We're teaching our kids, specifically mentioned here. And our mouth is engaged when we're just sitting at home, it talks about here. Speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house. Comes out the Word of God. It was laid up 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago, and there's an application. Oh, here's a situation. I'm sitting in the house, and now the Word of God, the snow melts and moves in. Man, it's intense living a life with the Word of God. It's just affecting us all over the place. It's really all part of us. Our walking around, it talks about when you're walking by the way, wherever that way is. There's the Word of God, ready to be applied, ready to melt into that situation. When you go to bed, you have the worries of the day, you have the issues of the day, the Word of God applying to that. Don't let the sun go down in my anger. Okay, Lord, I need your strength for that. And reaching out to the Lord, then getting out of bed, His mercies are new. Man, the Word of God, it's all around us, it's working in us. Right in the deepest part of man, the heart or the soul, and to our outside, our hands, our eyes, our mouth. Man, I just thought, you know, we just did it during Bible studies and prayer meetings. That's when the Word, that's the only time we do Word. No, it's our whole life. Man, it's integrated into our life. We really are to work the Word. We really are to work the Word in everything we do. It's integrated. That's why this is, were you wondering why this was right here? This is the T25 Get It Done workout. And you can buy this after church service for $19.99. This is probably more than that. This is like some crazy workout. And I got to see many do a little bit of this. But it like works every part of your body. That's what grabbed my attention is that, you know, they're just working different parts of your body. Okay, today we're doing cardio. Today we're doing abs. And then they move to different places. And that reminded me, that physical workout reminded me of where His Word is supposed to be. It's supposed to be in all those places. It needs to be in the things I'm touching, the things I'm seeing, and the things I'm speaking, my tongue. The Word's supposed to be working in all of these areas. There's more, and we'll finish here with verse 20. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. There's even more. We could spend a lot of time on just this little area here and looking at each facet of this and how the power of His truth just brings light and life to every aspect of our life. So now it's talking about our doorpost and your gates. Writing His Word and putting it up. You will see that in this church. You will see scriptures on walls and random places. If you want to bring in a Bible verse, don't wait for me. Go ahead and do it. Put it up. Put it on a piece of paper and write it. Put it around. Put in His Word. Talking about posting His Word. This is more important, significant, because of what I've learned from the Scripture, than icons of angels or Jesus' face or His heart or crosses, those type of things. This is more significant because of what I've learned. That His Word needs to be working in every aspect of our life, not icons and images. That's why you see His Word around you. I put a greater value on the John 14, 6 verse that's on this window right here than the name of the church, by far. If I only had enough money, if we only had enough money as a church to do one or the other, guess what? Which one would be up? The other stuff is fluff. The pictures of doves and whatever else, that's nice, but it's fluff. The stuff that is power is His Word. It's alive, it's powerful, it divides flesh from spirit. Man, get into it. My shed the other day, I came across a promise verse. I've been praying for someone, I forgot about it. It'd been there a long time, and in fact, it got buried. There's junk just pushed up against it. And then as the excavation team went in and organized the little barn, it became, wow, there's things that, there's the Bible verse that I used to see there. And that was cool to reveal that again and to be reminded to keep praying. On our fridge, there's woman study Bible verses. I read those as well. That's cool to have those posted, the Word of God posted. It's on the fridge. It's probably the most important gate that you can post the Word on. Entrance to your property, the gate would be. And, you know, things like this can give us cool ideas, you know. Maybe something on the mailbox. That's kind of like the entranceway to your property. You can put a scripture. Maybe a big rock or something can have a scripture on it. You know, that's on your property. Something that is you encounter as you come in. A telephone pole going up the driveway. Just get it done. Just work the Word. Every aspect of your life. Be totally entrenched with His Word, the moisture from above that just brings us that peace immediately, and that laying up. We know this Word's going to be effectual for our whole life. It's powerful. We thank You for Your Word, Lord. We thank You for this time that we've had to be able to gather here. We thank You for this building. Lord, may our tongue be used to edify the body, Lord Jesus, and to glorify You. May Your Word be working in every inside aspect of who we are and all the outside things as well. Help us to be creative. Help us to have fun and to enjoy Your Word, Lord God. Just put it everywhere. Give us some great and creative ideas as far as that goes, Lord. We pray now for the one that is feeling a little bit dry, Lord Jesus, that rain would fall on them right now. We pray for the blessing of Your Holy Spirit, the power and dunamos from above, Lord, to fall upon us. As we trust in what You did on the cross makes it possible, Lord. You died, You paid the price, Your blood was shed because of our sin, our wrongdoing. Lord Jesus, that makes it possible for us to reach up high and to be blessed with the filling of Your Holy Spirit. Shed abroad in our hearts that love, Lord God, that is so deep and so wide that we can't measure. We pray for the ones that aren't with us today, Lord Jesus. In a small body, they're definitely missed because they're loved. Lord Jesus Christ, bless them where they are. Provide for them, Lord. We pray going forward, Lord Jesus, that You would remove any sin that's infected this body. Because it begins with Your people called by Your name, Lord. We need to turn to You. Not to be pleasers of men, to please You, Lord Jesus, every single day. Thank You for freeing us, Lord God, as a people. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.